Professor Richard Landes is an Israeli historian and author, and we wanted to get some sense of where it's been, how did we get to this point, and therefore what is the best way forward. Professor, good morning. Thank you for joining us again. How are you?
Good morning. Okay.
So the question around the future of Gaza is probably one of the most critical questions at this point. Does Israel annex it? Do they bring in the Palestinian Authority? Do they try and create a new form of leadership in the region? Does America get involved? Are there any other options I'm leaving out?
Look, if we want to be imaginative, there are other options. But what strikes me most about how people think about Gaza is how unimaginative they are.
Yes. That does seem to be the case. But what is likely, what is the most likely scenario?
Unfortunately, the most likely scenario is that it will remain in Hamas's hands.
Right.
There's an enormous amount of world pressure that seems to be obsessed with leaving Israel with enemies on their borders. And before we even get into the future of Gaza, I'd like to say one thing. Clearly, that the international community has not considered, and in fact, if you ask them to consider it, they would be horrified. And that is that if you remember at the beginning of Russian invasion of Ukraine,
right,
there were refugees leaving Ukraine for countries where they didn't even speak the same language, like Hungary and Poland. There was a massive exodus, and everybody thought that was completely appropriate. When it was clear that Israel was going to go in after Hamas, instead of the world saying, wait, we care about the Palestinian people, let's get them out first before Israel invades, the response was not even to imagine the possibility of allowing these people out. And so, you know, what the world was basically saying at that point, what the international, what I refer to in my book as the whole world, namely the international community that thinks it speaks for the whole world, was saying was, we prefer Palestinians to be victims of Israelis then take care of them. And our compassion for them is compassion when they are victims of Israel. But otherwise, we have no compassion for them. So the first thing that should happen after this is everybody who wants to leave Gaza should be allowed to leave.
Right.
I don't know where they're going to go. I mean, the other thing that the international community was basically saying is nobody wants people like the people in Gaza living in their society. So let's leave them, let's let Israel deal with them. So that's the first point I wanted to make.
Right.
Now, the article about Trump's speech in Doha was just staggering. I mean, you know, either this guy is playing the fool or he is a fool. But the idea that he can turn this into a freedom zone means that he has no idea what's going on. He has no clue as to the dynamics of Arab culture in general and the most pathological expressions of Arab culture, namely what's going on in Gaza and the West Bank, in other words, under Palestinian leadership. So, in terms of, and here I'm not just speaking about what's good for Israel, I'm speaking about what's good for the world community. The best thing that can happen to Gaza is that as many people as want to leave. And they don't have to leave. They don't have to be chased out. They can be let out and even encouraged with, monetary subsidies to leave. The second thing is, you've got to get rid of Hamas. If Hamas remains in the tunnels, you're dealing with a situation that can only explode once again. And another round of this revolting behavior on the part of the world community in which, Gazans, they're being killed by the Israelis. The idea of having the PA take over is absurd. They held on to it for about 2 months after Israel left and Hamas took over.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not sure I can tell you what should happen, but I sure can tell you what shouldn't happen, and it's most likely going to happen.
So does that mean that the possibility or the option of the United States managing a lot of some of this is a, given the circumstances, a reasonable idea?
First of all, I don't think it's a reasonable idea. Secondly, I think that if the United States were to take over, they would last as long as the PA in terms of resisting the jihadi takeover.
Right.
I don't think the United States, Israel doesn't want the United States there. They don't want American lives lost, allegedly defending Israel. The last thing that we need is for Americans to say that Israel is killing Americans.
Right.
So, you know, and I don't think that there's any sign in the American polity, and I had hoped there was with Trump, but Trump is indicating that he has no clue. There's no sign that in the American polity there is a policy option that takes seriously the dynamics of Arab political culture. So that, you know, the idea that you can come in and you'll build resorts and it'll be a nice place and people will come to go to the beach is just absurd. You know, you don't, it's not in, at least currently, it's not in the DNA of Palestinian society to allow something like that to happen.
They can't. Right.
Go ahead.
The fact is that there needs to be, as there was after the Second World War in Germany, there needs to be a focus on de-radicalizing. Needs to be about education.
Right.
About, and the question is, I guess, who is in the best position to be able to do that?
To do that,
de-radicalization. Who is in the best position to make sure that the building materials and the funding isn't used to rebuild terror.
Exactly. And part of the problem is that the world community doesn't understand. In fact, they literally invert. They don't understand the fact that Hamas is a Nazi ideology. It's an exterminationist, genocidal Jew hatred. It's built into not only their charter, but the sermons of their preachers and so on and so forth. And the world community doesn't recognize that. So you have these people who mouth these platitudes about how, well, you can't kill an ideology. Well, that's what we did with the Nazis. But that's because we were determined to. Whereas what these people are saying is, I don't want to confront Hamas as a Nazi ideology. I don't want to acknowledge that Israel has been dealing with a genocidal enemy. I want to keep the heat on Israel. And the fact that they're willing to sacrifice the Palestinian people to this end, so they won't let them out, they want them to be victims, is part of what's so disgusting about the current state of the allegedly progressive international community.
One of our listeners, Max, is asking, can you ask your guest if he thinks that all this money that is being invested in the USA by the states, the Arab states that Trump is building, visiting, is that a modern version of a Trojan horse?
I'm sorry, what is the modern version of a Trojan horse?
The funds that Qatar, Saudi Arabia...
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, the best symbol of that Trojan horse is the gift of the presidential plane, you know, a Trojan plane.
Right.
And that's what's so distressing about this current trip is that, you know, every once in a while he says something that's reasonably okay, but the rest of the time, you know, he's buddy-buddy. He may make a deal with Iran that's worse than what Obama did. He's buddy-buddy with Erdogan. He may sell him fighter jets, high-tech fighter jets and stuff. You know, and all of this is him thinking, Trump thinking, I know how to deal with these people. You know, and he's playing checkers, and they're playing three-dimensional Go.